afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We got a lot of things to talk about. Yes, we're going to continue talking a little bit about the Vegas shooting, but there's also a lot going on in the markets. We're going to talk a little bit about China, North Korea. We're going to talk about the cost of things. Perhaps, though, we're going to talk about the cost of, you know, exactly what is the Las Vegas shooting going to be. And so make sure you stay tuned. First, we're going to see gold today. Gold did manage up a whole buck today at $1,272. Silver is up 6 pennies today. $16.72. Platinum was down a dollar at $915, and palladium was up 7 at $919. Still a good time to be adding some platinum to your portfolio if you don't have it. USDX today was down 0.07 at 93.57, and crude oil was down 0.26 at 50.32. And the paper markets today, up strong, 83 points. It's up a barely a little over a third of a percent, so it's really not that great. It's just happens to be on record in record territory. That makes it so disgusting. 83 points on the Dow, except for those of you who are benefiting from this. Hey, that's great. The Dow is up 83 points at 22,641. The NASDAQ is up 14 at 65.31. And the S&P is up 5 at 25.34. The only thing I don't like about it is because it's rigged. You know, they can rig things going up just as they do rig wanting pressure on gold. So if it was a free market and a good market and it was really without corporate intervention, yeah, I'd be right in there with everyone. But I know it's all fake, it's all phony, and there isn't a real fundamental underneath that supports these levels. And hey, if they come out with a good tax cut, you might see it go up a little bit higher. But everything you read, every analysis of the tax proposal, well, until the details are truly released, the devil's always in the details, we really don't know. But for the most part, it's really been a lot of hoopla over nothing, because it doesn't seem like the tax cuts will truly be tax cuts.
They're truly selling the sizzle and not the steak, because they don't have a steak.
I believe that is correct. Mm-hmm. It's mainly the sizzle. And hey, Wall Street, Main Street, buying it hook, line, and sinker. And so we got 10-year yield today at 2.33%. There's really some interesting things that are happening that is really behind the scenes. And I think the biggest one is the Federal Reserve. And when he replaces, I guess it's not a matter of if he replaces, it's a matter of when he and with who he replaced, not when, but who he replaces. And because it seems to be more of more interviews going on exactly in his favorite pick. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But then again, Al, we know Donald Trump, you know, he can go down one path and all of a sudden say, well, no, I decided to stay with Yellen. So we really don't know. The euro is 117, up a little bit, 0.10. And European markets were shown a little strength overnight. And, you know, other than the shooting, that's been front page since late Sunday evening, all day Monday. A lot of reports coming out as far as this person, a lot of information, a lot of theories. Al, would you like to, you know, comment at
I think the whole thing is so fantastic, it's just almost impossible to believe. It is really strange. The guy is a multimillionaire, for God's sake, according to some people's reports. I mean, what is going on in this country when multimillionaires start shooting the great unwashed? What is that all about? And everybody's, oh, he's such a nice guy. Yeah, it didn't seem strange to anybody. I don't know. I mean, this is just, if I had written a novel, I said, look, here's what we got, Melody. We're going to have a multimillionaire who's going to go shoot 50, 60 people. How about that?
An injury, 500.
I mean, people say I'm out of my mind, and yet here it is. It seems to be happening.
You know, I don't know if, you know, they released very little. You get a little picture here, you know, with the number of guns continue to increase. Seems like you have more and more push for gun control the more and more guns they find. And with this situation, they call them, you know, there's you know, the news is already being a little distorted as from the facts, you know, call it fake news, if you will. But to me, they're just distorting it a little bit, making it seem different, and certainly to will on people's emotions and so forth, that perhaps there is a possibility of future discussions on legislation for anti-gun. Mr. Trump was asked that question when he was heading out to Puerto Rico this morning. He basically says, we'll talk about gun laws later. I don't know what there is to talk about.
Oh, I understand. I mean, ask Barack Obama. He's tried to push gun control laws for 8 years. He was in there, and all he did was sell more guns than anybody who's ever been to the White House before. All right? I mean, the gun, since the gun industry has had kind of a letdown since Trump was elected, because no one's making a serious threat about gun control, and so they're languishing. They're saying, "Oh my gosh, nobody's buying our guns." This will probably get people stirred up, and they're going to go out and buy another 50 million guns. Well, not that many, but they're going to buy several million guns now. That as soon as we hear that there's going to be gun control, people start rushing to the gun stores to pick up new rifles, shotguns, pistols, revolvers, whatever. So it's got to be frustrating for the people who believe in gun control. It's really got to be frustrating, because every time they try to advance it, the public goes out and buys more guns. Not a little, not a few more guns, a lot more guns.
Well, I think it is absolutely disgusting that these people say that the people that were at this concert, because they were listening to country music and were probably Trump voters. Are you kidding me? To me, that is far more hate than this is their opinion, but oh my gosh, it's like, how do these people eat? I don't understand their thinking. I mean, it's insanity for them to say something like this stuff. Oh, yeah, let's all listen to rap instead. Let's all listen to rap where, yeah, they talk about guns, but it's about killing everybody. That is so much better than country music and God, isn't it now?
Yeah, I understand. The whole thing's
it's like,
insane.
Are you kidding?
You're talking about a vice president from what? CNS? CBS?
CBS.
Put out you know, this is one of the things. You make offhand remarks. We all make stupid statements. Even I make stupid statements from time to time, Melody. Mm. You probably don't notice, but I do.
I never have, Al.
Uh-huh.
But I know
well,
you pointed, I know you point it out every time
put it
I
on
do,
tweet,
though.
If you put it out, if you tweet your stupid statement,
see,
or you put it on
folks.
Facebook or something, it can haunt you for the rest of your life. The woman who made the statement, she said that she was glad because these people watching country or listening to country music, most of them are Republican gun toters anyway, so she thought she didn't see a problem. She felt no sympathy for the people who got shot. They were all mostly Republican gun toters, was the way she described them. And next thing you know, she's out of work. All right, so there's a point here. I don't know. Apparently, the politically correct.
It's interesting to see who hires her next. But anyway. But I mean, it's just bizarre, Al. I mean, that just isn't a mistaken comment. I'm sorry.
Well, it's stupidity. It's stupidity. It's indicative of a mindset that's probably not hitting on all eight cylinders. But you're talking about a woman who's a vice president of a major corporation. You know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, And what message will this communicate to other people that are in insignificant positions of power? So, oh my gosh, don't say anything, don't say anything. We're going to have to be politically correct. Even the liberals and the leftists have to be politically correct. How about that, Melody? It's not enough that just the people on the right wing have to be politically correct and get criticized if they're not. Now, the people on the left wing are getting fired if they're not politically correct. We're going to get to a point where no one can speak. When people are born, they're going to remove our little vocal cords when you're a child. You're going to be circumcised and have your vocal cords removed, and then you can't say anything stupid, you know, and be fired.
Well, what else is stupid are these late-night comedians. I mean, they're pushing gun control. Why don't they stick to what they're supposed to do? Be a comedian.
You know? Well, there is something. Good. It is a little bit comedic to push gun control, because the more you push it, the more guns are sold. I mean, there is a kind of humor to this. Oh, yeah, come on, please. I'm sure the people that manufacture firearms are saying, please. They're begging. They're maybe even bribing the comedians to advocate gun control because they know this is going to sell some guns. Where's Barack Obama when we need him? Get Barack down here. He can stand up and, you know, talk for 10 or 15 minutes about the need for gun control, sell an extra couple hundred thousand guns.
Well, you know, it's just so nuts, stemming from a person who not a lot is known about him. There's headlines that he actually filmed himself.
Filmed himself what?
During.
While he was shooting?
Yes.
Sounds like if they actually investigate this guy. It sounds like they're going to find a brain
or something
like that.
They're going to find
something. This is crazy. I mean, he's rational. He chose from the perspective of, if this is what you wanted to do, given the idea, I want to kill some people, he made good choices. All right? He got his rifles. He got his ammunition. He got a position where he could shoot from, the rest of that sort of thing. It's probably 1,000 feet away from the...
Can you be that methodical, though, with a brain tumor?
Well, I don't know. I the whole thing is so a millionaire. I can understand somebody who's impoverished. He's been divorced. He lost a wife and the kids. He's lost a house. I understand people get pushed into corners. What pushed this guy in? Retired. 64 years old and allegedly retired.
Multi-million. Well, he wasn't extremely wealthy, but he had a couple million dollars.
I understand. What's his problem? The guy had two airplanes. He was a hunter. He had two airplanes, according to reports I've read.
Four properties.
Yeah. This guy is living, in theory, he's living the American dream. Huh? How do we square that with somebody who goes up and commits an act of what seemingly is terrorism? It's just so strange. It's like, I can understand. There's some people got a gripe. I get that. You know, and it drives some people to the point where they are so frustrated they can't articulate what they have to say. They can't get anybody to listen to what they have to say. They're not making any progress. They get frustrated, and some of them, on rare occasions, they pick up a gun. What's this guy's problem?
Well,
I mean, doesn't he have enough flat screen TVs in his house or something like that? What is his two airplanes, and he's decided to shoot 50, 60 people?
Well, we don't know, you know, did he leave a note? Is there any reason? We don't know, and certainly,
well, if he's videoing himself.
He's videoing himself.
If that's
supposedly. True. Let me see if I can pull that up to see where that was actually reported. New York Post. The New York Post said that he videoed, set up a camera inside his hotel room to capture his deadly shooting rampage. There was other
He's
surveillance.
Doing a selfie, huh, Melody?
There was other.
See, this is what drives these people. It's not firearms. It's
terrible.
It's selfies.
Let me finish, Al. He had another one set up in the hallway to alert him as cops closed in on him. The shooter had at least one lens set up to tape himself as he did what he did.
He
wired
taping himself
outside his room.
Videoing himself is no big deal. I mean, big deal. You see a picture of somebody who's loading loading his rifle, all right, and firing out a window. That's not a big thing per se. It's kind of interesting, but it's not a big thing. The big thing will be the soundtrack. Is he leaving his last testament on this video? Mm-hmm. Is he talking to the camera and explaining what he's doing and why he's doing it? Because if he is, this is his manifesto, apparently, where he's explaining to the world, this is why I did this, and here's what's bothering me. It's just incomprehensible to me. I mean, I can comprehend. I don't like it, but I can comprehend. You get some Muslims, they start shooting people. Okay, I get it. Get some Negroes, start shooting people. Okay, I get it. Cops start shooting. Okay, I get it. I'm not justifying it. I'm not in favor of it, but I understand it. This guy is just beyond me. I don't get it. What is this guy's complaint? I'd like to just see this guy. I wish he was still alive. I'd like to just grab him by the lapels and say, what the heck are you doing? But, you know, that's not going to happen, and we're going to have to... I am hoping this video actually explains. I'm hoping while he's shooting, he's explaining, well, this is what's got me going. So we'll find out. Another mystery. Here's an article from Newsweek. Yeah, and it says Las Vegas shooting recovery would cost at least $600 million.
Almost a billion.
It's like a hurricane, practically. The cost of the mass shooting in Las Vegas will be astronomical. Based on what we currently know, at least 58 killed, more than 500 injured. It will cost at least $600 million. According to a researcher on this, he says estimates the average cost per fatal firearm assault will be about $7.8 million for each of the people who died, which accounts for factors such as medical care, medical health, mental health, work loss, emergency transport, police work, employer costs, and quality of life. There are going to be people that will need therapy for years from post-traumatic stress syndrome. There were other people who weren't just shot. They were hit by cars and fell or hurt themselves as they fled the scene. This thing is, $600 million. You know, it's not going to collapse the economy, but still, that's a lot of money. And the argument here is the reason for this article coming out of Newsweek is to try to convince people this is another slant on gun control. They say, oh my gosh, okay, well, it's not necessarily so bad that we're shooting these people, but it is costing us a lot of money, so maybe we have to have gun control in order to reduce our costs. The whole thing is insane. Everybody's, as we said yesterday, they'll all be jumping in and trying to make their pitch and using this to gain, you know, mileage and traction for their pet idea. We're going to take a break for a couple commercials. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We have those 1 ounce silver eagles. I have a few of them left, $388 for a tube of 20. That's yesterday's price, and silver's higher, and we're keeping it at the same price, $388 for a tube of 20, 1 ounce American silver eagles. The date on those are 2017s. 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
An article here from Yahoo News. It says, now I get it. Why haven't authorities named Las Vegas gunman a terrorist? Good question. You would suppose... I would have before I read this article. You would suppose that here's a guy who shot 58 people and wounded over or caused 500 or more to be injured. Some wounded, some just injured, trying to run away and falling down or whatever. He's caused great harm, great fear, great paranoia, post-traumatic stress syndrome and the rest of that. And yet, you would think, well, there's a terrorist for you. And no, and the government says, no, there's no link. All right. They were talking about ISIS claimed responsibility for the shooting, but the FBI says there's no link. FBI special agent in charge Aaron Rose said, "All this event, as this event unfolds, we have determined to this point no connection with international terrorist groups." So why haven't they named this guy Paddock, Stephen Paddock? Why haven't they just named him a terrorist? And the article says it all comes down to motive. According to CNN law enforcement analyst James Gagliano, terrorism is defined as violence or intimidation in pursuit of a political goal. All right? And the shooter in this thing, Stephen Paddock, he didn't have a political goal. He was not fighting to free the prisoners or stop gun or cause gun control or, you know, make drugs legal or whatever. He did. He had no political agenda whatsoever. And because he had no political agenda, he could shoot 50 people and not be labeled as a terrorist. On the other hand, if someone sat back with a bean blower, all right, for a terrorist purpose, for a political purpose, to start throwing, starts sending spit wads zipping through the air in your high school class, you might be called a terrorist. Don't have to kill people, but do you have a political agenda, and did you try to use violence or intimidation in pursuit of political goals? That is apparently the definition of legal definition for terrorism. Former federal prosecutor David Winstein said of the case, quote, under the statutory definitions of something that the world that would be domestic terrorism, it doesn't qualify. The situation in Las Vegas, it doesn't qualify. He's not trying to influence a certain outcome of the government. He's not affecting interstate commerce. He hasn't received funding from some foreign or domestic organization. So he's not a terrorist. Now that's interesting to me. All right? I would suppose anybody who picked up a gun and started shooting would be a terrorist. Nope. Depends. If you have a political agenda, you're a terrorist. If you don't have a political agenda, no, you're not. So if you don't want to be prosecuted for being a terrorist, you just must love people when you start shooting. But if you're angry about the Congress or whatever,
the problem is we don't really know what his motive was at this point. So you can't really label him anything except.
Yeah, but the one thing about it, the terrorists tell you what their motive is. Now, we may find out if we get to see if there really is a videotape of him shooting, and if he's talking during the videotape, we may discover his motive at that time. But the terrorists, I mean, if ISIS goes out and commits some sort of a terroristic act, they're telling you, we're doing this for this reason, all right?
Well, they are claiming some association.
This guy just got up there and started shooting.
ISIS did try to claim
responsibility. ISIS did, but they said, no, that's a bunch of malarkey. ISIS had nothing to do with this, and I think that's probably the case. They claimed this guy converted to being a Muslim a couple of months ago in anticipation of this event. The whole thing becomes nutty. But in any case, it doesn't require shooting necessarily, but it does require a political agenda.
He did wire his girlfriend $100,000 to the Philippines. So, yeah, just here you go for all your trouble that you're going to get after I do all this. Here's $100,000.
Yeah, right. So that should be almost enough for a retainer for your attorney, because you're going to be tangled up for a while, my dear. I mean, they're going to want to interview you, and it won't be a half-hour interview. She's going to be interviewed back and forth here for a we'll watch and see how it unfolds. But $100,000, come on. Come on, come on. You're a multimillionaire, and you're leaving a real mess. Should have left her a couple of million at least.
He was probably cash poor.
Maybe
he was cash poor, all in real estate.
Here's Huffington Post.
I haven't seen his report. What?
Huffington Post says there's a couple of different headlines here from different publications. Bill O'Reilly on Las Vegas massacre. This is the price of freedom. All right, meaning you got to keep those guns around. Even knowing that some crazy people are going to lay hands on them, they're going to do stupid things. But it's a price of freedom. And in fact, O'Reilly's got a point here.
He does.
It's an unpleasant point, but it is a point nonetheless. Televangelist Pat Robertson says, Vegas attack due to people's disrespect for Trump. National anthem. I don't know that. I don't. Again, this guy, that's, you know, we can see that there's people that do disrespect the national anthem. They do disrespect the president. But I'm not sure that had anything to do with this guy who was shooting. He didn't seem to have a political agenda. He may have been doing this because he doesn't like quarter pounders with cheese. It's hard to say what moved him to do this. He may be doing it just because... It's said in one report, he says he had two airplanes and he was a hunter. All right? This guy has been hunting for years, presumably. He likes to hunt. I don't know. Is that what this is all about? I don't know what it's all about. It's just bizarre. Senator, after Las Vegas shooting, it's time for Congress to get off its ass and do something. This is Business Insider. Senator Chris Murphy, he's advocating extensive gun control. Nowhere but America. Here's something he says. He says, first, his heart goes out to the victims. I don't know about that, you know. I mean, everybody's going to claim their heart goes out to the victims. I don't know how many people really care. But he goes on, he says, nowhere but America.
I disagree. We can't judge what's in people's hearts, Al.
You can make a guess. You know? Like Hillary Clinton is tweeting about this. I don't even know what she said. She's expressing her concern. Oh, yeah.
Lump them all together.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to catch a little vial of Hillary Clinton's tears. I mean, a little violet. I'll be able to sell it for a fortune. It'll be a collector's item, Melody.
Remember the funeral they went to, Ron Brown's funeral, and
Bill was laughing until
the camera hit on him, and all of a sudden,
all of a sudden,
and shed the tears.
Terrible. Yeah. But they go on, they say, nowhere but America do horrific large-scale mass shootings happen with this degree of regularity. Already this year, we've seen more mass shootings than days in the year. They actually, according to one report, they've had a couple thousand what they call mass shootings. But you got to read the definition. Mass shooting doesn't necessarily mean anyone was killed. A mass shooting means that somebody shot at more than one person, I assume. And it may be that he didn't even hit him, but I think it still qualifies as a mass shooting. Congressman Murphy called for increase. And when they're complaining America is the only place where we see this happening, there's another thing to bear in mind. What about the Nazi Holocaust? That was done after. They went out and arrested all the Jews and sent them into concentration camps to exterminate them. And not just Jews, other people as well. But first they disarmed the German people. And what about the millions of people who died under Stalin? First thing he did was disarm the Russian people. And there has been a document that was assembled by Jews for the preservation of firearms. And it lists the number of instances of genocide that have taken place in this world since 1900. And it is a considerable, and the number of people killed by genocide committed by their own government has been enormous. And what was the first prerequisite before the genocide took place? First, they disarmed the people. Now, we've got people in government that are going to say, oh, we've got to have more gun control. They want to disarm the people. And they say, to protect us from somebody shooting 50 or 60 people, we need more gun control. Who's going to protect us from the government when they decide to come knocking on the door with a SWAT team and arrest you, haul you off, take your property, whatever? It is the reason for the Second Amendment is to protect us from the federal government. That is the reason for it, and it's not radical talk, not crazy talk. You can find a document that's come to be called the Preamble to the Bill of Rights. It was the cover letter that was written when they submitted 13 or 17 amendments to the states. 87, I think they submitted the 89, I think they submitted for the first bundle of amendments to the states. The states ratified 10 out of the 13 or 17 that were sent, and those 10 became our Bill of Rights. But Congress told us in the cover letter, they said, the purpose of these amendments is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. All right. It was intended to protect the people of the states. So all 10 of those amendments were intended to protect the people of the states of the Union against the federal government. And that includes the Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is not about going duck hunting. It's not about, they figured you, if you want to go duck hunting, you should have brains enough to do it. If you want, if you're being invaded by a foreign country, you should have brains enough. They said, you people must have brains enough to shoot the invaders. But they wanted to protect us against having our guns confiscated by the government. They said, no, the government can't confiscate your firearms. And that's what the Second Amendment was about. And it's sad and it's sorry and it's not a pleasant thing to think about. And yet there is a kind of supreme, if unpleasant, wisdom in the Second Amendment. They didn't trust the federal government. And they said, you're going to need your guns to protect yourself against them. And the reason I bring that up is because here we have Congressman or Senator Chris Murphy. He says, nowhere but America do horrific large-scale mass shootings happen with this degree of regularity. Well, there's a bunch of other places where they have horrific large-scale acts of genocide perpetrated by their by people's own government against the indigenous people. And that happens when gun control has been established. It's one of our protections against mass murder. I know that's hard to believe. I'm not alleging that the government is planning to do that, although I know some people believe that. But this is the deal. You need the firearms to protect yourself against the government. So here's a congressman. He says he wants more gun control. Congressman Murphy called for increased gun control measures, but did not specify what those measures would entail. All right. So here we have somebody who's also grabbing the stage. He's got an idea. All he's going to do is, I presumably, attract some votes. I don't know what he's doing exactly. But you got to hang on to your firearms. They're there for a reason, and it really does go, it plays a big part in whether or not we're going to be a free people or we're not going to be a free people. He also goes on, he says, this must stop. It is positively infuriating that my colleagues in Congress are so afraid of the gun industry that they pretend there aren't public policy responses to this epidemic. It's time for Congress to get off its ass and do something. He's talking about Congress being afraid of the gun industry. I don't think Congress is afraid of the gun industry. They might be afraid of the NRA, which are the people who own guns, represents the people who own guns, but less, I don't know what the NRA's relationship, direct relationship is with the gun industry, but I don't believe that Congress, I may be mistaken, but I don't believe that Congress is particularly afraid of the gun industry, but they are concerned about the gun owners. And they've seen evidence. They start trying to confiscate guns. Next thing you know, people who were in the Senate, were in the House of Representatives, they get voted out, go home. Won't need you anymore. So they avoid, they are reluctant to impose gun control. And it's probably a good thing, even though, as Bill O'Reilly pointed out, he said, this is the price of freedom. And he's probably right. Sometimes lunatics get hold of the guns and they do bad things. But sometimes lunatics get into the White House. And sometimes lunatics get into the Congress. And sometimes lunatics get into the Senate and the federal courts and the state government and whatever. What do we do about those lunatics? I mean, we don't use them as an excuse to stop voting or use them to stop as an excuse to stop having elections. We have to continue. And we're going to do the same with firearms and the rest of that sort of thing. We're going to hang on to these things. But there will be, there'll be another one of these. There'll be a lot of conversation here. I mean, this is what has been the topic du jour, Melody, for the last several days. I don't even remember. They come and they go. What was the big thing other than the shooting? Anything? It goes by so fast. It's like a kaleidoscope. It's here today. On tomorrow.
Yeah,
whatever it is, it'll be here for a while, and then we'll find another one.
Are a lot of things out there that I do believe. Well, I mean, this was certainly not planned and so forth, but there are so many distractions running around out there that people really have lost sight of what's really going on in this country. And there are some things that are going on. I mean, North Korea anymore is anything but a,
North Korea.
Who? Who would they do?
They had their 15 minutes of fame. I mean, Andy Warhol was right. You get 15 minutes of fame. That's it.
Move on.
You're in here. Fine. Thanks very much. Thanks for playing.
It's Puerto like Rico, America's got hurricane.
America's got fake news or something. Thanks for playing. Now get out of here and bring in the next contestant.
Good grief. And, but everything is just sort of covered up. Everybody is just, it just doesn't seem to affect anyone. It doesn't seem, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of bizarre, which tells me we're getting even closer to some of these things beginning to unwind just because there's no reactions to anything.
Well, yeah, it also just means that maybe we're getting reports that really don't resonate. It resonates with the media because they're trying to make a particular objective, but it's not really resonating with the people that hear it.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I hear the music, though.
All right.
I do hear that.
A couple of commercials. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we know Janet Yellen's term is about to be ended come the beginning of next year. Pardon?
February, I believe.
And one of the front runners is a Kevin Warsh, W-A-R-S-H. And he hasn't been shy about his desire to shake up the central bank and turn it into a more hands-off institution with clearer policy rules. He was at one time a Federal Reserve governor. He was the youngest one ever to be the Federal Reserve governor. And he's been a critic of the Fed for years, complaining that it rescued the economy, continued to pursue extraordinary easing policies to the detriment of the markets and the economy. There's people who have known him for years. It's looking and he wants to change the Federal Reserve. He would most likely favor less regulation of the banking system. And, of course, we know that is something that President Trump favors. From a policy standpoint.
Oh, yeah, you can trust the bankers.
I know.
We need to do honor system at the prisons also. We're going to just open the gates and the rest of that and let people come and go. The serial killers, the murderers, the robbers, the rapists, we need to trust these because you can trust them.
He also said that he might have if he becomes the chairman, that there could be 4 open seats that he would fill. Which is, I think, a little dangerous also. He's only 47 years old. I believe he worked with Goldman Sachs already. He's a former banker. He worked during the financial crisis to be very capable of explaining the Fed's high-level policy debates in a pragmatic way to policymakers. He worked with Bernanke. He's the one he worked 7 years at Morgan Stanley before joining the Bush White House in 2002 as an economic advisor. He was named to the Fed at the age 35, the youngest Fed governor ever. He served until 2011. And he has something else going for him that could help him with the president. His wife is the granddaughter of Estee Lauder, and her father, Ronald Lauder, is a longtime close Trump friend. So, you know, there's the elite folks that are tied to the White House. Just an interesting tidbit there. But
he's also, I've got an article here from CNBC, favorite to be next Fed chair, believes central bank is a slave to the stock market.
To the stock market, correct.
What an extraordinary statement. I mean, coming from a man in his position, and what's interesting about this is evidence that he doesn't think the central bank, a lot of people sit back and they go, oh my gosh, the central bank is running the whole thing and they're moving the economy and doing things, that they're the almighty. He's essentially saying, no, they're not, they really aren't all that powerful. He thinks they're a slave to the stock market. And holding, you know, maintaining the Dow Jones and the Standard & Poor's 500, maintaining those indexes persistently at record levels. I don't know what to make of that exactly. It is, this guy is the front runner. He's not necessarily going to be the next Federal Reserve chairman, but if he were elected, you can imagine, well, assuming he's telling us the truth and the rest of that sort of thing, you can imagine that he's going to be, he's going to really shake up the Federal Reserve and the entire financial system. How does the Federal Reserve, assuming this man believes that the Federal Reserve is slave to the stock market, how do we free the Federal Reserve from the stock market? And if we're going to free the Federal Reserve from the stock market so it's no longer the slave, no longer the servant of the stock market, what's going to happen to the stock market? And the answer is the stock market's going to fall through the floor.
Yep.
All right.
There is one thing that he found that he said he was interviewed in 2015, and he said we would be better off if markets were setting prices instead of taking their lead from a bunch of government officials 7 years into a U.S. economic recovery. So
right.
He argues for a trend dependence instead of data dependence. And the market's going to crash like a...
Yeah, I know. Yep. So... do we dare appoint this guy? I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad idea to appoint him, but I wonder, will Trump, will anyone else in a position of power say, oh, let's bring this guy in, he'll crash the stock market, and then everything will be rosy? I think it's going to crash anyway. I don't know who's going to be in charge when it does crash.
He thinks that if it's trend dependence and when the trend turns, you know, so he's kind of defending his position if that happens. He thinks that the Fed should take account of the new prevailing signal and react instead of waiting for the data to come in after it happens. So it's like taking a proactive response to the markets turning, but when the trends turn. But I think when the trends turn and the market begins to tank this point in time, there's nothing, there won't be anything that they can do to turn it around.
I don't think there is anything. I think part of the problem that the Fed is running into, and I've talked about this, written about it a time or two, and I've talked about it a time or two. I think the problem is, it used to be that when we had an asset-based money system, if you wanted to move your money to Europe or to China, for example, you had to put your gold or silver coins in a chest on a boat and hope to God the boat didn't sink while it was traveling from New York to, say, Hamburg, all right, or London, or wherever. If you wanted to move your money overseas, there was a certain amount of risk involved, and it took time. It didn't happen instantly. When we started having a digital currency and an internet, all of a sudden those two oceans, the Atlantic and the Pacific, that used to isolate us and contain our money within the United States, if the Federal Reserve set the interest rate, you had to live with it. All right? Today, if the Federal Reserve sets an interest rate that creditors don't like, creditors just move their money to foreign countries at the speed of light over the internet. The result is, because we can now move currency by speed of light over the internet around the world, the Fed no longer has a captive audience, and they can't adjust interest rates in a way that are traditionally meaningful. Fine. Set the interest rate at zero and see if we don't move our money to Zimbabwe or someplace where we can get 10%. And that's what's happening. The point being that the Federal Reserve is nowhere as strong in this digital age as it was prior to the digital age when we had an asset-based monetary system. And I think part of the point of all this, Federal Reserve's running out of power.
Well, he also said in that same interview that he had with CNBC that he would say interest rates need to be set in financial markets, and interest rates are not set in financial markets when the Federal Reserve and the world's other central banks are the buyers of first and last resort. Yep. That's what they've been doing for years. It's what the Federal Reserve still does when their bonds mature. What do? They go and buy more. So it's, you know, so yeah, you could.
How's the curve?
I'm not sure these, yeah, I mean, it'd be real interesting if he would become the Fed chair. So,
it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
And
I mean, it's
might,
all interesting. We live in interesting times. That's
yelling.
One thing about it.
He might just keep yelling, but I think they're also planning on these markets coming unwound. And I don't think she has the power, and she doesn't have the strength to contain the markets in a crisis.
I don't think anyone does.
Well, you'd be surprised how you'd be surprised how you can withstand some pressures just by the strength that these people project. And she doesn't project any at all. Ultimately, you're right. No one does, but temporarily, she would have none at all. Mm-hmm. So, she can't be in there at a time of distress. I mean, she just can't. They won't. I don't think they would allow that.
I mean, we've got to have somebody to blame. Melody. Bernanke got out when the getting was good.
Yeah,
he did. All right. Yellen's been there. She's a pretty good candidate for being blamed when this thing all goes south. We can all blame Janet Yellen, or we could get this new guy Warsh in
blame
there.
Her because
he's already threatening to crash the system. Why not let him do it?
He's
going to crash anyway.
The reason they'll blame her is because she's not memorable. You know, she hasn't done anything to. I mean, everybody knows Alan Greenspan. Everybody knows Bernanke. Janet Yellen, she'll be forgotten in 6 months.
Then we'll have to find somebody else to blame.
She's a good scapegoat. She's a good scapegoat because she is not. Because she's not memorable.
Maybe you do need somebody memorable. Somebody you can really hate. It's hard to hate Janet Yellen. She seems like she's somebody's grandmother and she's going to bake some cookies or something like that. It's hard to get angry at her. But if we could get this guy Warsh in there, then we could maybe blame him. Say, oh my gosh, he's done something that caused the stock market to fall. Who would have ever dreamed that was possible? Well, he said it's what he wants to do. He's kind of a perfect candidate for taking the blame, Melody. So we'll watch and see.
I don't think he'll get the blame. He'll be in there to save it, I suspect.
They won't blame me, Melody. Whoever they're blaming, it won't be me. All right, they're going to blame somebody, but it won't be me. I've got an article here from Neil Kashkari. The Fed has done three things to hold back the U.S. economy. Kashkari is one of the principals in the Federal Reserve System, and says members of the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, are trying to understand why inflation and wage growth are low despite headline unemployment rate having fallen from a peak of 10% during the Great Recession to 4.4% today. Now, this is interesting to me. The Federal Open Market Committee is trying to understand why inflation and wage growth are low, which means they don't understand what's going on, which does not inspire confidence. I mean, if you think the economics is confusing, how can people that are essentially sitting on the Federal Reserve say, we don't know what the heck's going on here? Now, what I'm thinking is this. Do you suppose he went on, he says, we would have expected a strong job market to lead to a stronger wage growth and then higher inflation as businessmen pass their increased costs to consumers, yet that hasn't happened. This is an important issue that needs more analysis before we can have confidence in our understanding of why inflation is low. Well, is inflation low? Maybe part of the problem, they're trying to relate inflation to wage growth, all right? And they're talking about headline unemployment rate has fallen from a peak of 10% to 4.4%. Actually, John Williams at ShadowStats.com said the peak was unemployment was about 23%. Maybe the reason the members of the Federal Open Market Committee are trying to understand inflation and wage growth, why they're low, is because they're using phony numbers. Maybe they have to stop drinking their own hooch. You understand? There's lead in your plumbing, baby. It'll make you crazy. False employment numbers. What about if they are trying to cause more inflation? How are they going to cause more inflation by suppressing the price of gold? If you want inflation, you have to make the price of gold go up. You can't make it go down. That's evidence of deflation. If they want inflation and if they're in a position to control inflation, they really have to turn gold loose. They have to stop holding the price down so people can see and say, oh my gosh, the price of gold is up to $2,000 an ounce. That's evidence of inflation. I better protect myself. They want inflation. They've got to have inflation, and that means the price of gold has to go up. And I think it also means that they're going to have to, their calculations are perhaps going to have to start dealing with real levels of unemployment rather than relying on false economic numbers and false economic indicators that we suspect and a lot of people believe are being issued by the government. You know, garbage in, you know, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. You can't start believing your own fictional numbers and try to make them work. They won't. It isn't going to happen. So I suspect that this guy Kashkari, he's complaining about this, but I'm thinking maybe you need to just clean the cobwebs out of your calculator and start using honest numbers, and maybe you need to do whatever has to be done to turn gold loose. And people will see an indicator. Want inflation? You have to allow the indicators of inflation, which include the rising price of gold, to be available to the public.
You know, Trump, Mr. Trump likes gold. Mm-hmm. He likes gold, and I think he understands what's. I do believe he understands what's going on to our economy and to the numbers with the Federal Reserve and everything. And the head of the CME, Duffy. He said gold should be trading at $5,000-$6,000 today, compared to what's going on in the world today. Inflation adjusted should be anywhere; it should be around $2,400. So I mean, folks, and they all know it, and they're all coming out and telling us.
And they have a reason to make it happen. If they really want inflation to stimulate the economy, it's one of the reasons why they have to turn the price of gold loose.
Yep.
And sooner or later, that's going to have to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yep, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.